we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
All right, welcome to the neighborhood. Jason Cairns, the best 5 minutes of the morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing fine this morning.
Good.
The day is early. I'm looking forward to see what the day brings today.
Now, one of the things I'm contending, I'm sensing a lot of fear out there, and so I'm advocating faith but not fear, but at the same time, not cavalierly like the Tampa mega pastor who got arrested for having packed services on Sunday. I mean, certainly that's the extreme, but I think there's a lot of things this side of that. So I'm kind of shooting for the fairway, which I kind of look at metaphorically in life. So is that, do you agree, disagree with that?
Yeah, I think that's, there's that sweet spot, in the middle. I think you're right. I think it's important to acknowledge those areas where we feel afraid. And I have certainly felt that. I was just writing about that some this morning. And yet, we're not, as believers, left without hope. We're in the middle of a story that's still being told. And
yeah.
Thankfully, we at least have a general sense of what that end looks like. God is in the business of redeeming all things. And if we can keep that in view, it helps us to manage the day-to-day maybe a little bit better.
I got to say, somebody asked me about how does this fit with the last times, and all I know is, every single day you wake up before or after this, I mean, you're closer to the return of Jesus than we've ever been. Having said that, I know I need to load up on hope because, news sources I check sometimes are like punching me in the gut, like taking my wind away. So I do, and it reminding me of the Gospel of Luke where Jesus talks about some things about, I don't know. Is that similarly needing to load up on hope to even, some people are like, don't even want to hear the news. And I understand that, but like I'm a news director, so I need to keep track of the news. So.
I think I have had a couple of times, and not often since all of this has kind of tumbled upon us, where I have managed to be away from the news for even 24 hours, probably not that long, but for enough time where I thought, there is fresh air to breathe.
And, yeah.
And so I think just being aware of, the effect the news can have upon us.
Sure. And there's a guy named Steve. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, for me, it's always a good process to look for things that are good, true, and beautiful, even if they come out in small doses. Helps us kindle hope some. So.
Yeah, that's a commonality. I think I had the privilege of introducing you to my friend Mark Hall, who joined us in the air last Thursday by phone. And you guys shared a similarity in terms of that, the good, true, and the beautiful. And there are some, we'll have to talk about that more on a future visit, because ultimately beauty is the thing that is so underappreciated but so important, right? So
it is. And I think, again, if you look at, you're having people asking about Revelation or the end time stuff. When you get to the end of that book, there is immense beauty. God is really making all things new.
That's what you've been reading. You've been reading Revelation, right?
I have been, and really walking through it slowly. This morning, I've been pondering a couple of verses for a couple of days now, trying to make sense of them. God's word is beautiful, but again, there's this idea of restoration.
Mm-hmm.
There's a quote from Dostoevsky that he said, "Beauty will save the world," some may hear that and think that's sacrilegious, but Christ is the ultimate beauty. And I think we continue to look to him.
You know how crazy it is that I actually had intentions that we'd start reading Larry Crabb's The Story Everyone Needs to Hear, the Bible in 66 paragraphs, and get to a devotion. And it looks like we're not going to get to either. So that's how these times go. It's two guys who really love each other hanging out on the radio for 5 minutes. That's the best 5 minutes of the day. And I think, so far, we've heard that people like it. So,
yeah. I miss you, seeing you in person. So,
I know it's just this whole virtual world we're living in, right?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Why don't you know we're going to try to play. T.D. Jakes was on MSNBC yesterday, and the host at the end said, "I'm going to have you ask you to do something." The host said he'd never asked anybody to do before. He asked T.D. Jakes to close out in about a 30-second prayer. Would you pray for us in terms of this time of faith versus fear that we live in right now?
I will. God, we know that you hold all things in your hand. None of this is a surprise to you. Father, help us as unsteady, uncertain humans who are a mix of contradictions to lean into the truth of Jesus, to know the goodness that you are bringing out of this, and to see the beauty of your Spirit moving in our world and in people's souls. God, help us to always look for the light in the time that seems so dark.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Beautiful prayer. Thank you.
Thank you.
My brother from another mother, that's Jason Cans, WWIB. Check his website, jasoncans.com. Well, Caleb, what'd you come across this morning?
Facebook apparently is in the process of developing a new reaction button. Now, many people have asked for different reactions. You can do the like, the love, the questioning, like, huh, face, or what have you. But they are now evidently developing a button based on the coronavirus. Now, the button, which resembles a heart, is similar in appearance to an icon already used by Facebook for its new COVID-19 Information Center feature. A sticker showing a heart over a house is also being used on Facebook-owned Instagram to encourage users to stay inside amid the outbreak. It remains unclear what exactly this button's purpose will be, but then we started thinking, well, what are other reactions that might be nice to have?
I didn't realize that Instagram was owned by Facebook.
Yeah, I think that's why it's the easiest platform to integrate with Facebook. All the other things don't work nearly as well.
I want like a forehead slap one. Like, seriously.
Like, why did you post this?
Or why did you do this? Or what were you thinking? Like a what were you thinking forehead slap.
Now, I'm looking at the six choices right now, right? You got the thumbs up. You got the heart. Mm-hmm. Like, you got
love.
The laughter.
Yes.
You got the wow. You got the sadness and the angry. I've kind of wondered, like, something that is a question mark.
Like a huh?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So that, to me, would be a good addition.
I think this happens because, again, like, working with our station social media all the time with the reactions, and it's nice to have the different reactions. You love getting the love reaction rather than just the like. But
or
when
the
someone,
angry,
and I know,
the dreaded anger.
God bless you, I know when some of you accidentally hit the wrong reaction.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, we're posting something that, you know, is supposed to be, like, super sweet or whatever, and then someone... angry. And I'm like, I know this person. You interact with us all the time. I don't think you meant to be angry to that, but you know, they're...
I always feel bad when people like accidentally hit the laughter one instead of the sad one.
Oh,
like
goodness.
You'll have like a funeral announcement and somebody will be like laughter. I'm like, I think they meant the little sad crying one.
I did that once when someone's accidentally when someone's dog passed away.
I know.
And I thankfully I caught it, but it's like, ooh. Because everything's so instantaneous on social media, it was like, please help them not see that I went ha-ha on their post mourning their pup.
Yeah. That's a
goodness.
Scary moment.
We've all been in that middle ground. It's kind of like, oh, I want to undo that. Please don't see that.
So. Didn't mean to. I have fat Danish thumbs. Well, the internet, Pinterest, various forms of social media are just rife with suggestions for how in the world you keep occupied. Now, most of these are, you know, 10 things to do with your kids that don't involve screen. You know, we've posted things like that. They're excellent, all right? They're good resources.
I'm sorry, because as soon as you said that, it brought to mind what my children were doing yesterday. As Dean and I are trying to go to bed, they came into our room and started doing this weird potassium dance thing. And I actually grabbed my
phone. Fueled by bananas?
I told them, if you do not let me go to sleep, I'm posting this on social media.
Aha, there you
go. It was...
That's the modern parent threat right there.
So again...
Sorry, I got distracted thinking of them.
And so a lot of these things are, how do you keep your kids occupied? Well, what about adults? How do you keep them occupied? Because one really, really smart dude in Australia, he's an astrophysicist, and he had a little too much time on his hands. So his name was Daniel Reardon, and he had some electronic parts just lying around. I guess that happens when you're an astrophysicist. And he said... You know what? I'm going to try my hand at a spot of engineering. So he tried to make a device that would make a noise when his hands were near his face, right? Don't touch your face. Don't touch your face. He used magnets. He wanted his invention to buzz as he moved his hands to his face. Well, he gave up temporarily, but then started, he said, quote, mindlessly placing the magnets on my face. First my earlobes, then my nostrils, like a magnetic piercing. Uh-oh. The problem was, no. When he put the magnets in his nostrils, shouldn't you know this? They all pinched together, and the ones, again, in his septum got stuck.
Oh, don't so he's got his put magnets in your face.
Unable to remove them by himself, oh. This astrophysicist. You know how they talk about, like, it's not rocket science.
Right.
He ended up heading to the local hospital. He said, quote, the staff enjoyed it. Several doctors and some nurses came to laugh at and with me. In the end, oh, two doctors pulled at the magnets on each side of my nostrils.
I mean, something you're going to get a four-year-old brought in by his mom, but the astrophysicist not
can
expecting
I,
it.
As a former emergency room nurse, can I thank him for having such a great sense of humor about it? Because this is just the kind of thing that these healthcare workers need right now, is a patient who can laugh at themselves for doing something.
I mean, we've all done this,
like,
right? You know, pinch your nose.
Not when you're done that.
But, I mean, have you ever pinched your nose together with magnets and then you couldn't unpinch it?
Did you ever have to yourself get brought to the emergency room or have to take your kids there for anything?
I have not yet.
I mean, I've gone into the ER for things. My kids, not as much. Not unless it was really, really, really appropriate because, you know, I used to work there. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I drove myself into urgent care once after cutting my finger and needing stitches. And then I was like, don't even numb it up. Just stitch it. It'll hurt less if you just stitch it because the numbing stuff hurts. So
bottom line,
I'm tough
net
like that.
Of all this, children, don't stick stuff up your nose.
Or in your ears.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Boy, the things you learn on this program, I'll tell you.
See?
We aim to serve.
Well, sometimes rays of sunshine come into my life in the mailbox when it's not a bill. That's always a blessing. Well, my dad sent my kids an envelope yesterday. Their birthdays were this month, and originally their birthday gift for my dad was going to be tickets to Don Giovanni, which was going to be over in the Twin Cities. And, of course, that didn't happen because everything's been canceled. So we got this envelope yesterday, and in it was a poem. Yes, there was a check as well. But in it was a poem, and it says, this is for your birthdays. It's a little bit late, and Don Giovanni will just have to wait. You already know that I'd never forget that you're 15 and 13, your oldest age yet. So have your mom cash this, then evenly share. And though it ain't much, you still know that I care. You can put it towards skateboards or books or your savings, or maybe sardines if that's what you're craving. So a happy late birthdays to you two from me. And I'll always love you unconditionally.
Hmm.
Grandpa Wayne.
Outstanding. Stepping up.
Bringing it. Stepping it up.
That's great. Yeah, some
better than any
creativity
card.
And love. That's fantastic.
Fantastic.
Speaking of feeling the love, it was Doctor's Day yesterday. And I guess my apologies. We probably could have and maybe should have done more to express our appreciation and gratitude. But the best thing I saw on Facebook about it, Rachel Williams, her husband, Joey, and he's a doctor at Sacred Heart and St. Joe's in the ER. And this is wonderful. I went to Liberia with Joey in 2012. And here's what she writes. Happy Doctor's Day to my favorite doctor. I'm so thankful for your dedication to our community and your patients. It's admirable to watch you check on patients you're worried about days after they've left your care. I admire how excited you get when you've saved someone's life. Never gets old to you. You always feel honored to have been there. I'm inspired by the ways you grieve with families and pray for them when they want that. You have such compassion. I appreciate the way you value your nurses, PAs, scribes, techs. You know it takes a team and you recognize everyone's role. I love the way you protect people's privacy. I constantly get messages from friends who are so thankful for your presence during their emergency, and I never knew until they told me. I love that you're doing what God called you to, and I adore seeing how you want to be used by him. I'm so proud of you. I love you. I respect you. And I admire you. Rachel Williams bringing tears to my eyes yesterday.
That's
and
fantastic.
A privilege to share that, yeah.
This is something, things that I've read that have encouraged and given me hope and strength. My dad posted a passage from C.S. Lewis's book, The Weight of Glory. And it goes like this. It's very short. It says, to please God, to be a real ingredient in the divine happiness, to be loved by God, not merely pitied, but delighted in, as an artist delights in his work or a father in a son, it seems impossible, a weight or burden of glory which our thoughts can hardly sustain, but so it is. Incredible that God delights delights in us. Mm-hmm. Not, it's all him. It's not us. It's not that we have anything we can be like, well, I'm so good at this, so that's what makes God delight in me. But it's all about his character, that he delights in us like an artist delights in his work. Amazing passage there from C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.